Oh, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sandy W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 28th, and we will be reading from the Big Book. We are on page 67. We are reading the second paragraph, which begins referring to our list again. We're reading just that one paragraph only. So today's readers are, we have Martha M. reading our 12 steps, Dory P. reading the 12 traditions, and then our readers of the text are Lois P. reading that paragraph on page 67, Eileen M. will read page 164 at the end of our meeting, and we've got Deb E. waiting in the wings as our backup if needed. Then following the meeting, we will have Lorraine N. as our newcomer greeter and Leslie M. doing the announcements. So, reference numbers. The reference number for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, June 27th, is 17,236. That's 17236. And then for the earlier meeting today, Monday, June 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that reference number is 17,240. 17240. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now I will ask Martha M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Sandy. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a great day and thank you for letting me be of service.
Oh, thank you, Martha M. Thanks so much for doing that service for us. And now I will ask Dory P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning. My name is Dori P., grateful compulsive overeater in Georgia, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service board or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Dori P. Thanks very much for doing that service for us, too. Okay, so this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. So to share, you will press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, you can let us all know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we will resume our study of the big book. Again, we are on page 67. We read the second paragraph. We haven't read it yet, but we will be reading the second paragraph, referring to our list again. We're reading that one paragraph only. So I am going to ask Lois P. if you could do that reading for us and get us started. Good morning, Lois.
Thank you. Good morning, Sandy. And good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. So when I read the paragraph, I grew up feeling that somehow something was wrong with me. I wasn't good enough. I had such low self-esteem. And I was frightened to do my fourth step. And I was frightened to do the tenth step, thinking, oh no, here I am to blame. But I have a different take on this, so this is just my personal experience. So where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? For me, being selfish was being self-centered. I felt I knew the best way. I know many people have said this, that I thought I knew the best way that other people should be treating me or acting towards each other, and then I would be happy if somehow I could fix them. dishonest, believing that, believing somehow that I was the center of the universe. I felt really terribly about myself, and yet I had a haughtiness, an arrogance, also thinking that I just knew what was best for everyone else, and I was very resentful when they didn't follow my script. Self-seeking, because I wanted to feel comfortable. I needed that comfort and feeling of safety, and at that point, I felt I'm the only one that could give it to me, and I was frightened because that just wasn't the truth. And if I couldn't get the world to revolve around me the way I needed it to, because I was already suffering from a feeling of fear and low self-esteem and unworthiness, then I was terrified. So when I did the fourth step, it's not about looking at what the other person may or may not have done. Yes, they may have harmed us in some way, but that's not the point. What qualities, what thoughts, let me say thoughts, inside my own head were destroying my happiness, were separating me from the peace that only God can give me? What were those, quote, faults, those character defects? And wanting to control everything, thinking that I was so isolated and alone, and that if I didn't fix the world and my family and my husband and my children, then my world would fall apart. That's a character flaw. That's a flaw in my thinking. So it all revolves around me thinking that I'm the center of the universe. But these character defects are really about what are the thoughts that I'm thinking that keep me separate from God. So it's not to make me feel less than or insecure again or feel that I have no value again the way I grew up. No, it's the opposite. It's seeing how those thoughts and those feelings have imprisoned me. And those thoughts were my own. I can't blame them on other people. So it's really realizing by doing the steps, especially the fourth step and the tenth step, that I need to free myself of those illusions, of those lies, of those dishonesties. Those thoughts are the things that separate me from the peace and the contentment and the security that only knowing if I surrender and release into God's power, all is well. So that's what this paragraph, thank you so much, Sandy, and that's what this paragraph means to me. So thank you so much for allowing me to share.
I pass. Thank you, Lois P. Oh, thank you so much, Lois P. Thanks for reading for us and your beautiful share. Okay, so now I'm going to take a list of others that would like to share on that paragraph. And although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that everyone gets a chance to share their experience too. So give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, and we'll continue with our sharing. Who would like to share?
Eileen M.
Eileen?
Deb E.
Deb?
Freya H.
Is that Freya with an F?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Freya. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? We've got Eileen, Deb, and Freya. Go ahead.
Marie S.
Marie S. Okay, perfect.
Jordan L.
And Jordan. Okay, let's go with that group. We've got Eileen, Deb, Freya, Marie, and Jordan. I may need some last initials, and if you'd like to give us your state so others can find you on the member contact list. Eileen M., go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and I'm looking at the line that says, the inventory was ours, not the other man's. we saw our faults and we listed them. So, you know, this makes me think about how, you know, what I learned here was that the resentment is not about other people. And, you know, I thought that my problem was always other people's behavior. And, you know, really what it's about me and my attitudes, and what was previously shared was what my thinking is about, you know, and the big book tells us that we have to get down to causes and conditions when we do this fourth step. And you know that, I'm just going back to the sick man's prayer in the paragraph above, you know, And, you know, when I say that, it takes the focus off of the other person and puts it on me, because it says the person might be spiritually sick like me, you know, and that gets me right-sized, that prayer. And, you know, putting the focus on me is really where it belongs. You know, and when I know when I focus on other people and, like, what they should be doing and how they should be acting, that makes my life unmanageable. And, you know, that burns up energy. It blocks me from God, and it makes me, you know, not useful to other people. And I really, you know, it would put me in the victim point of view. You know what I mean? Like, what were the wrongs that were done to me? And in that state of mind, there's really no chance of a relationship with the other person or with God. You know, I was told when I started doing this was that, you know, you're blocked from God, and these are the ways you're blocked. And I had no idea. I just, you know, when I just looked at the other person and focused on them, I thought that that was the problem. So I'm so grateful that my thinking got turned around here, and just very grateful. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. We're grateful to have had your share. Thanks so much. So next up, we'll have Deb E., followed by Freya. Deb, just give us your state if you'd like, and go right ahead with your share. Good morning.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. The first sentence referring to our list again, my sponsor taught me to go through my contacts on my phone. And any institution or person that kind of got a reaction out of me when I saw the name scroll by should be on my list. And I like this referring to our list again, because I almost always add someone onto my list every time I do an inventory by the time I'm checking it for the second time, and looked for our own mistakes. I never wanted to look for my own mistakes. I was so busy blaming everyone else that it was really a foreign concept to me to even think that I was to blame. I just thought it was everybody else. I didn't see where I was wrong. And but I had a really hard time for a long time. You know, these two words had not been entirely our fault. I was very caught up on, but the other person still did something wrong. You know, I sounded like a little kid. But it's not fair because I have to do this, but they also did something wrong. And what I've learned is it doesn't really matter what the other person did. And yes, like it helped for me to have that validated that, yes, sometimes the other person has done something else, but I can't do anything about it, and it's really none of my business. My business is looking at my part and how I can change that, and how I can make better choices the next time, you know, and how my resentment is directly related to my part, not really what the other person did. It's how I react to it. It's how I look at these things. And we place them before us in black and white. I really like that, because they're saying it's clear cut. You know, we talked about how it's a fact-finding, fact-facing business. So it's like just the facts, write it down. And then I just have the words in front of me, and that's it. I don't, you know, I got really upset when I switched to the current sponsor I have, and she wouldn't let me elaborate on my resentments. Like, I'd start going into a whole story explaining why, and she's like, no, just one sentence, or not even. That's it. And I was like, but you don't understand. I need to explain. She's like, if I need more of an explanation, I'll ask you. She was so frustrating for me, because I just, you know, I want to give all these reasons. I want to explain to everybody why it's not my fault, why it's the other person's fault, and why I should be resentful, and why I should point the finger at them, and why they should be. You know, it's been a really, like, slow, humbling, long process for me to realize that, no, that's not how it works. If I want recovery, I just have to look at myself and where I am to blame in it, and to recognize, but to do it in a way that's not where I'm not putting myself down. It's just really, again, it's like just the facts. It's like, okay, the fact is here I was self-righteous. The fact is here I was, you know, being led by fear. And looking at it that way is like just the facts. Thanks, I'll wrap up. Takes a lot of the, you know, a lot of the energy and the emotion out of it and helps me to get to the other side. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Debbie from Israel. Thanks so much for sharing with us. So next up we have Freya, and I do need your last initial and your location if you'd like to share it, Freya. And then we'll have Maria. Good morning, Freya. Go right ahead.
Good morning. My name is Freya. My last initial is H, and I live in Colorado, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater bulimic. Thank you for your service. And this paragraph is where I really experience like a pivot, you know, like a change of heart. Whereas in the first, you know, the first two columns, I'm all wrapped up in the resentments and I'm feeling justified. Then I get to the third column and I see, oh, this is really triggering stuff for me. Maybe it's not so much about the other people. And then in this fourth column, which they're describing here, I am seeing my part. And so this is a huge, you know, key to freedom. The directions are really simple, but this is incredibly profound. And when I did this, the Big Book Way, this is what I, you know, can remember as like my first real, like clear spiritual awakening or spiritual experience. Like, oh my goodness. Like I suddenly see through this process, I'm able to see the world from a different lens and there's freedom. This is amazing. And one word that just jumped out at me this morning was the word mistakes. We resolutely look for our own mistakes. And I used to kind of cringe at that, just like, oh, like it's, I'm finding out how bad I am or, you know, how wrong I was and I have to atone for it. And instead, for some reason, I was able to hear this morning that my mistake is not some wrong I had committed, but my mistake is really my mistaken perception of the situation. You know, that just I'm seeing the world through a lens which is self-centered, and so I'm seeing it as people are out to hurt me, and why aren't they following my script? And I'm feeling very justified. So that's my mistake, is my mistaken perception of, you know, this self-centered pair of glasses that I'm wearing. And I also find a lot of freedom in that, the line before that, putting out of our minds the wrong others had done, because it's telling me it's safe and it's okay to not focus on that. For a long time, I thought that I had to hold on to the wrongs that others had done in order to stay safe. You know, like I need to hang on, I need to hold on to that tally sheet of how the world has wronged me, because if I don't remember, then I'm going to set myself up to be hurt again. And so there's a very strong correlation between holding on to the resentment and my safety. And when I recognized that, and it made a lot of sense, and I was able to have a lot of compassion for myself, that this mistaken perception that I had was just another way that I was trying to stay safe in this, you know, unpredictable world. And what a gift it is that as I continue this process, that I have another option, that I have this higher power that I now get to lean into, and that I get a new perspective, and one in which, you know, God's taking care of all of us, and God is using everything for our healing and our growth. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Oh, thank you, Freya H. from Colorado. Thank you so much for sharing. So next up, we will have Marie S. followed by Jordan L., and then I'll be able to take some more names. So get ready if you'd like to share. Marie, go right ahead and give us your state if you'd like.
Hi, thank you. My name is Marie, a recovered compulsive overeater from New York City. And this is the first time I'm sharing at this meeting, but this paragraph jumped out at me so strongly I had to share. And this is what I want to share. Sure, there are specific times in my life where I was wronged, and I didn't, it really wasn't my fault. However, one of the revelations I had when I was working and thinking about this was the fact that there was a situation specifically where I felt like I was wronged, and I felt like I was wronged for over 30 years. And then through working with my sponsor on it and seeing it from a different perspective, I realized that I had set up this relationship and said some things just to offer shock value. And I thought I was cool about it. And then the person wronged me. And in looking at it today with my sponsor, it's amazing because, you know, I see the part of me that set up a relationship with someone who was not able to trust me, not because of who I am, but because of what I was trying to portray who I was. And for whatever reason, and I still want to do some more work on this, a lot more work on this, but I'm amazed that how what I thought was an innocuous comment was hurtful to somebody else, and in the long run hurt me, the dishonesty. That might be a little convoluted, but I feel as though how valuable it is to look at our inventory and not necessarily another man's. And placing it before black and white, placing it before us in black and white, I could see my part in it, even though in reality it looks like I was wronged. So anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I love this meeting, so I appreciate being here. Thank you. Pass.
Oh, thank you, Marie S. from New York. Thank you so much for your first share here on the meeting. We appreciate you too. Okay, so next up we'll have Jordan L., and then we will be able to take some more names. So, Jordan, go right ahead and give us your state if you'd like. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. referring to our list again, period. Take a deep breath in and out. God, I remember the very first four step I ever did. I didn't get this at all, man. Like, I remember sitting down a fifth step with my sponsor, and she was like, wow, George, you really missed the mark. but it was all good, you know? Like, I needed to do that. I needed to do that first inventory. Like, I needed to have my first inventory, you know? And ever since then, like, I've been practicing this. And I've gotten a lot better at it over the years. I've got a lot better at putting out of my mind the wrongs others have done and resolutely looking for my own mistakes. And this was, there's some language here, right? And this is like, this is something about the big book that we want to understand, right? Bill thought of himself as a very good writer. And it's not to say that he wasn't, but he thought that one of the traits of a good writer was not using the same word over and over again. So there's several times in this paragraph that he uses words that all mean the same thing. And that's wrongs, mistakes, blame, fault, all that stuff, you know? and so I really had to come to understand that what Bill is talking about here is the human aspect of making a mistake. He's not talking about blame and fault finding. Like, those were actually character defects of mine. Those were traits learned in childhood. I had learned to use those as protection, basically, you know, like blame and fault finding were my protection. and when I learned those, they served me well. And now, as an adult, they don't serve me anymore. So what I do is I start humbly looking at my own mistakes. And what that does is, like, it brings me back into reality, you know, it brings me, down to the same humanly level, as all the rest of the beings walking around this earth here, you know? And I get some clarity. I really get to understand some stuff that I didn't understand prior to this, you know? And it's only by looking at my own mistakes. And I just wanted to say too, like, nowhere in here does it say that we have a part in our resentment. Our resentment is ours. There's no, like, part of it. The full resentment is ours, you know? It's our disturbance. So we're not looking at our part, we're finding our mistakes. thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Sandy W., you want to unmute?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. I was reading away. So just wanted to remind everyone we're on page 67. We read the second paragraph referring to our list again. And although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others can get a chance to share their experience too. So who else wants to share?
Wendy M. Boulder.
Wendy.
Darian K.
Darian. Laura R. Laura.
Alice G.
Alice.
It.
Who was the last person that came in? I didn't catch that name.
Duke R.
Duke R. Gotcha, Duke. Okay, let's go with this group and see where we are with time. We've got Wendy M., Darian K., Laura R., Alice G., and Duke R. Okay, Wendy M. from Colorado, please get us started again. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. Oh, Lord. When I first heard the word resentment, which I'd never heard before, it was 21 years ago at a meeting in Los Angeles. And I was like, resentment? Oh, that sounds delicious. I'd like to binge on that. And that's what I was doing my whole life, right? Because you guys were to blame. And I was a blame machine. And I had photographs, you know, evidence that you'd harmed me. I had photos. I had texts, I had emails, I had all the evidence I needed to prove to you that I'm a victim and I've been harmed. Oh my God, and that's as far as I went. And then this program gives me so much beautiful, amazing direction, right? Because as has been said, what this inventory does is it frees me up from myself. Like, thank God I'm the one. I'm the problem, thank God. Because if I wasn't the problem, there's no solution. And that's the brilliant moment. This is the turning point. This is it. Like, I get to go, oh, my God, I've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. You know, last night I was sending, you know, my inventory to my sponsor. And it was so freeing to write her and say, here's exactly what I did. I was using this gentleman. I wanted his attention. I didn't care who he was. And as I wrote this, right, the honesty is what frees me up. And the honesty is what gets me to God. That's how I got to God. You get to God through honesty, right? All of it melts away. I get freedom the minute I tell you the truth about how I've harmed somebody. I get freedom when I tell you about my resentment. And if I'm in resentment, it means that I don't trust God. I don't trust God at all. I trust my resentment. I trust that if I resent, like people were saying, these strategies, resenting and fear and self-seeking and self and dishonesty, you know, those were my best friends. And that's what got me through the day. And today, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. Is that my time? I couldn't tell.
No, you've got 45 seconds.
Oh, how exciting. I'm so excited. So it says here, honesty. If I'm going to be honest, I trust God completely. Honesty is a surrender. By telling my sponsor last night exactly what I did, you know, that's because when I'm in resentment or dishonesty, I don't trust God at all. I trust Wendy. You know, I'm running the show. I trust me. And we have this program where it shows exactly how to release ourselves from ourselves through this very simple direction. And when we do that, we get God. And when we do that, we get connected to our fellows. And we get freedom, freedom, and freedom. And when I keep the secrets and when I hold on to that resentment, there's no freedom. I'm in bondage to self, and
right.
There's no sunlight of the spirit. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Thank you for sharing with us. So next up is Darian K., followed by Laura R. Darian, give us your state if you'd like, and then go right ahead. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. This is Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be on the line with all of you today. I've already heard so many good things. I'm not sure I can add to it, but there is a couple of things. First of all, I'm writing my fourth step, so yeehaw, I'm just in the trenches here, working these, these lovely steps. And I heard something at a meeting not too long ago that was perfect for me. They said something like, resentment is a rehearsal for retaliation. And I remembered it because it was a lot of R's. and that was perfect. It was like, yeah, that's the stuff that's going over in my head. I'm rehearsing it. It's going on. And then that retaliation, that lashing out or the silent treatment, which I'm really good at, becomes the outcome of this resentment. And it just feels so crappy and it just doesn't help. It's not helpful. I always think it is. Like, if I just let somebody know how I'm feeling, that it's going to get better. And most of the time it does not. It just makes matters worse. And I also heard in this program, how free do you want to be? And again, it's a little rhyme, so it's easy to remember. And I do. I want to be free. Bottom line from the food, obviously, that's first and foremost. But I also want to be free from my head, not have to walk around just with these magnifying glasses of, looking at people, what they should be doing or what they're doing wrong. I just want to take those off and be part of the world. But it just seems so innate. It's hard for me to shift. And that's why God has to come in for sure. I cannot do this by myself. It's really, really a God program. And so when I put that down in black and white, like it says, my pen to the paper, I ask God in. I say, please, God, help me to see what I need to see and write down what I need to write down, and give me the words and the thoughts, because it needs to be God-driven. And I'm just so grateful for that. And so grateful for what I learn here. I just tune in and I hear all these pearls of wisdom and then I hang up and I know what to do. And that is so wonderful because really in the past before program, I had no idea. I really had no idea. And it surely wasn't about any of this stuff. It was just the wrong food plan or the wrong meeting, in the wrong place. Yep, thank you. And it has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about me and what I need to do to become my authentic self and a better person. So thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Darian Kay from Massachusetts. Thanks so much for that share. So next up, we have Laura R., followed by Alice G. Laura, if you'd like to give us your location, go right ahead. Good morning. Sorry for the beeping in the background. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. Oh, I love this paragraph. I love this big book. So a couple of paragraphs before, it just talks about that we turn back to the list for it held the key to the future. And here we go. This holds the key to my future. If anyone's scared and new to do this four-step, be scared not to do it. I swear. If I don't do this four-step, if I don't look at the mistakes, or look at really the dishonesty that I've been living in for so long,
then I stay so sick. It talks about that this, our selfishness kills us. It talks about it's a life of, you know, playing at a life which includes deep resentment only leads to futility and unhappiness. I don't want to be there. And that's what happens if I don't do this work, you know. And, you know, I love, you know, selfishness, so easy. It's my thinking, and my thinking is so off, right? Like, that's really the problem. I come in here for the vanity. I stay for my sanity. It's the thinking that is so distorted. And again, I had no idea. It's the only life that I knew. But selfish, you know, people aren't playing by my script. But the dishonesty is really where I see a lot of the truth. And, you know, my sponsor says there's lies of omission and a commission, but there's also the lies of delusion. And that's really where I a lot of it, like, what lie am I telling myself? For example, the lie I'm telling myself is if my husband doesn't love me, or if my husband loves me, he would do what I want. The lie that I'm telling myself is I need this person to change in order for me to be okay. And I remember with my stepkids, my sponsor so gently told me that it really doesn't matter if they don't like you. I'm like, what? You know, the problem was is that I didn't like me. So when I didn't, it's not that they didn't like me. I didn't like me. And so I thought that there was always something wrong with me if my kids were in a bad mood. You know, and the fact that they were in a bad mood, I'm like, oh, where's my probade? B-I-T-C-H-S. Like, I mean, hello? Like, don't you know who I am? And they're not going to give it to me. Like, they're just not. They're 21, 22. Like, they like me, they love me, but then they're just not going to be coming in with pom-poms and rainbows. And I need to be okay with that. But the funny thing is that once I realize that how they show up has nothing to do with me and that I'm okay, wow, freedom. You know, and again, another denial is that what am I failing to see within my dishonesty? What am I failing to see? Or the hypocrisy. Have I ever done the same thing? Oh, that person was late. Well, have I ever been late? Yeah. So the bottom line is that I'm putting people on the dang cross when I've done it all this too, most of the time. And if not, man, I love the prayer before. They're sick or, you know, spiritually developing or human, just like I am too. You know, it holds the key to our future, you guys. Like, and you know what? I got sick this weekend, but I do have a solution. You know, we have sponsors, we have fellows, we have inventories, we have the big book, we have prayer, we have God.
Hi.
And thank you so much. And you know, get it done. Get her done. Just do it. Like the Nike commercial says, just do it. It's so worth it. That'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Laura R. from Colorado. Thank you for just doing it with your share. So we'll have Alice G. next, followed by Duke R. Alice, give us your location and then go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Alice G. in Wisconsin. Thank you for your service this morning. Yeah, powerful meeting today, y'all. Really grateful to be here and hear all the shares. And I just had to jump on because someone else said that their sponsor didn't have them read much or go into much detail about the cause, the other person, what had happened, you know, and it says putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, looking for our own mistakes. I had a sponsor who did not let me read that column that says the cause. She just had me fold over the paper and read who I was responsible for and my mistakes. And I just thought that was genius because I love to get in the spin of things and tell you all why I'm angry and why I'm justified in my anger and my righteousness and all that and a bag of chips, you know, that I'm so good and they're so bad. And I really have to look at where am I to blame? Where am I holding on to this resentment? And there are times when still today I can start having a conversation in my head with somebody and they're not even there because I'm trying to justify, argue, defend, or explain an issue that they're not even thinking about, you know? And that's where this step work is so important because I can reference this. Where are my mistakes? Where am I to blame? Disregarding the other person involved entirely and looking at where am I being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, and really taking that apart with somebody who's done the work before me. And I am so grateful for this tribe I have today, these women who have trudged before me and trudged with me, so I don't have to do this alone.
And I can get to know people and be vulnerable and say, yeah, I am crazy, you know. That's what this disease does to us. And thank God today that I have some clarity of mind and a higher power because of doing this work. I don't have to go it alone anymore and stay in that spin of my dishonesty and my story. So, yeah, looking at myself in black and white, admitting my wrongs honestly, and praying for the willingness. And it's not just praying for the willingness either, it's taking the right action. And again, I've had women who have walked with me and helped me look at my amends and said, Alice, do you see this? Do you see what you need to say? Do you see where you've emasculated someone or made them feel awful? And then being able to make those amends to this person and then listening to what they had to say about me, how intimidating I was and how...
Time.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting me share. I'm grateful to be here, Pat.
Oh, thank you, Alice G. from Wisconsin. We're grateful you shared with us. Okay, now we have Duke R. And Duke, if you'd like to give us your location, we've got almost exactly 3 minutes left. Go right ahead, Duke.
Hi, good morning. My name is Duke. Grateful to be recovered. And wonderful paragraph. When I went through the steps out of the big book, with my big book step study sponsor, you know, I had to put a bracket there. At this particular paragraph, and my sponsor said that this is often the hidden paragraph within the book and that it's called the turnarounds. And with each resentment, I couldn't lump things together. I had to look at where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And I've been an Overeaters Anonymous for 33 years, and I can tell you I came in at 450, and 13 years in, I had relapsed and was 500. And what I know is that I never effectively get down to causes and conditions and that my fourth step lacked depth and weight and that I failed to enlarge my spiritual life. So this particular paragraph is really critical because it identifies whether or not I'm still bringing the same person forward. Am I having ballroom behavior? Am I having untreated alcoholism? I also came to learn in the further steps, as my sponsor outlined, that these were my character defects, that I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And with the process of writing on each one of these resentments and looking at the turnarounds, I can actually go through the day now pretty mechanically and pause when I'm agitated or doubtful and say, where am I being selfish? Where am I being dishonest? Where am I being self-seeking? Oh, this is fear. And each line I was given clear-cut directions was, we're selfish. I wanted him because. I wanted them to like me because. I wanted them to go on a date with me because. You know, and then the dishonesty piece was really the game changer for me, you know, and my sponsor had me read 60 to 64 and 84 to 88 every day. And I said, why? And they said 60 to 64 is your world. You're the actor arranging the lights and the scenery. 84 to 88 is how you're supposed to be living your life going forward. I know there are words on a page right now, but I hope that your will starts to align with God's will. And so I had to get rid of the narrative, and those dishonesty questions were, is it true? Did I hear it myself? Do I have permission to repeat this? Is it any of my business? As somebody mentioned, have I ever done the same thing myself? Are my expectations reasonable of myself or others? Do I have the capacity? Do they have the capacity? Am I failing to face the facts about the situation? How am I setting the ball rolling? You know, did I speak up? I didn't speak up as a kid because I got bullied into silence with some historic despair, you know. Do I think I know what's best for other people? And did I act like it didn't matter? And then most of my fears got boiled down to, you know, not being liked, not being loved. And then I had to do a fear inventory as a result of that. But this changed things for me. And as a result of doing the work, I mean, I'm currently maintaining about a 260-pound weight loss. And I'm not in my head about the food. And I constantly go back to what's my part in things. And very grateful to be here this morning. Thank you all for your service.
Oh, thank you, Duke R. You will be our last share this morning. And I want to thank everyone on Team Monday for the month of June. Martha M., Dory P., Lois P., Eileen M., Deb E., Lorraine N., and Leslie M. Thank you all so much for your service. And now we'll close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Eileen.
Hi there. Eileen M., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. And